So thanks for practicing with the Tonglen practice. For some, it's a harder practice because we're, in loving kindness meditation, we're sending love and kindness and friendliness outward. In the Tonglen practice, we're receiving the challenges, the difficulties, and we're sending the compassion. And so we do it a little different because we're actually not going to hold it. We're releasing it into the elements, which is so spacious, right? The Buddha taught Rahula, his son, and therefore all of us, that the elements are so expansive. The earth, you pour trash and dirt and everything on the earth, and the earth receives it and transforms it. Fire element burns it. You see, so this is why when we bring into mind the elements, we immediately reconnect to something so much more vast than this three-dimensional body mind. We're now reconnected to the elements that are in us, yeah. And now we break down that separation and we become as expansive as the elements. And so when we intention what we receive into the elements, we're basically just a conduit. We're not holding. And then we're receiving from the elements, and then we're sending back to that person, that balm of compassion. So we're the conduit for them, yeah. The beauty of this practice is that it nourishes our bodhicitta. Our bodhicitta. So we've talked about bodhicitta a lot. I think the last two fall, winter, we spent some time, not maybe last year, but the year before, with the Bodhisattva path of Shantideva. Yeah, we took portions of that book, practice with it for the rains or winter retreat period. And so for some reason it's coming back again, because I guess we're gonna about to go into that period again in October, right? And this path of practice that we're on, this path of liberation, is really a path of compassion. It's a path of healing. The idea and the understanding and the practice, the intention and the practice, right? These two kinds of compassion, that intention compassion, active compassion, is that if we heal, then we have all this spaciousness. And when we heal these things in us, now we have the space for the seeing more clearly. If you think of all the things we're holding as knots and as just restrictions that don't allow us to see more clearly, that once we begin to heal, now things open up. And the saying, what was upside down now is right side up, and now it's a whole different, and this is our waking up. Is waking up to what is really there, reality as it is, not the dream fugue-like state that we're usually in. So this practice of bodhicitta, bodhicitta being the aspiration to wake up, so we can help all beings wake up, and it's limitless. And we want to come back 100 times so that until every being is awake. So it's not sufficient that we ourselves become awakened. No, we want to become awakened so we can help others awake. So that's the whole practice of compassion for ourselves, so we actually know what it is, and so then we can share it out, because it's really hard to offer anything you don't have to someone else, right? Like someone asks you for a dollar and you look in your pocket and it's like, oh, I don't have it. It's like that. Someone asks for compassion and you look in your pocket and you don't have it, meaning you look in this mind body and you don't have it. How can you offer it to them? And so our path of practice is that of finding and taking care and nourishing that those seeds of compassion in us, which we all have, making it grow and flourish in such a way that we can offer it out, and realizing that it starts with us. Yeah, it's not a selfish path. It's simply a path that is wise enough to know if you can't, don't have it, you can't give it. It's really that straightforward, right? So that's why in the instructions in the meditation today was really notice what's there for you. Because if you right now, if you're in a mind-body space where there's lots of things up and you're tight and restricted, this is not the time to be trying to receive more from an external source and be a conduit to share out. No. And that doesn't mean that you're less of a practitioner. It doesn't mean we're all bodhisattvas in training, yeah? So all it means is we're wise enough to know what is here in this mind body. And that's why we practice mindfulness, so we can be aware what is here with me right now. And then when we become aware and we transform those things, then we know, oh, I see this, okay. Right now is not, you know, if we're like in a place of anger, it's not a time to take in the anger of a person who is like really fiery right there. Because all that'll do is, you know, make our fire even more inflamed. And so that's the time to practice our steps, practice our breath, practice with whatever, painting, listening to music, singing, dancing, whatever it is that helps you to begin to notice and take care of something. Because we all have that in us, yeah? It's just that in this path of transformation and waking up, our path of liberation, we are committed to loving ourselves. We are committed to waking up. And that commitment requires us to know what is there. What is there already? And knowing and believing that we are bodhisattvas in training. So I want to remind us of this. In our practice, we say everything feeds and nourishes the transformation. So I want to talk about bodhicitta as activism. Yeah, as activism. Because when you think about what activism is an awareness that there's something that needs to be transformed. Yeah. That's what we say activism is. We are interested, we see something that is not quite right. There's some stuff that needs changing, and we are going to do it. Are we going to help others do it? Are we going to participate in doing it? Are we going to, whatever it is, the thing is, the doing is. And that doing, by the way, can be something as, quote, non-active as sending energy, right? There's a person in pain that's, when we did the category, the group of a place in conflict, it could be any place in conflict where there's oppression and injustice. And that, what we were doing was activism. We were sending compassion. We were receiving that energy of injustice, that pain that person was feeling in that zone of conflict. Maybe they can't leave. Maybe they're surrounded by that. Walls. The walls could be anything. Yeah. Even the injustice that we hold in our mind. Yeah. And so we're receiving that and we're sending, right? We're asking the earth, the water, the wind, the fire to transform, to change. And then we're sending it out with our steps. We were walking and receiving, one step receiving and into the earth, the next step sending that bodhicitta energy from the earth, just like that. Yeah, walking in activism for change. So when you really think about what it is in our minds that and our hearts that we say we are about when we become more active in change, we're really practicing in a, you might say, maybe a more external way, yeah, with our bodhicitta. Yeah. Now, there's something also that comes with this change in us when we're about work in social justice spaces. There's often anger. There's anger, right? So we're angry because of the injustice. So the injustice, the unfair thing, the illness, the dis-ease that's happening, it makes us angry. So why does it make us angry? Because a lot of us are activists and you know we are angry people. We're not just angry people, but we are many times angry people at an injustice that we know is occurring, we see is occurring with someone we love, occurring with a group of people we care about. Often a group of people that we have some identity with. And so what happens is, and even if the person or the group doesn't have a direct identity, the trauma of that injustice, it is similar to the trauma of an injustice we may have experienced. Yeah. So we know what it feels like to suffer from something that's unfair. Yeah. So we're all female-bodied people here. So I'm going to take a risk and say we all know what it feels to suffer from being female bodied. I mean, some of us may be in denial, so that's okay because we're all on our own path of healing. And being female bodied in this world, and certainly in the United States of America, we know what it feels like. Yeah, we all know it. It's imprinted in us from when we were children, what that is, what it means. So it's in us, right? And being children and maybe not receiving the skills to help us identify this is happening because of this, you know, kind of our path of practice, identifying, embracing, investigating, transforming, like, you know, no one, at least I know when I first felt discriminated against because I was female bodied, I didn't get those instructions as to how I may take care of it. So often we have to learn on our own. Sometimes there are female bodied people in our family that elder sister, auntie, mom, grandma, friend, a pastor, that kind of helps us understand it. But we have it in our body, we know it. And a lot of it is anger, right? Okay. And so when we experience and see another form of injustice, whether it's racial, whether it's homophobia, whether it's nationalism, whether it's disability, language, place of birth, whatever it is, yeah? Class. We know it. And so there's the anger, it gets it comes back. We weren't able to change it. I mean, patriarchy is still very real. Misogyny is very real. Yeah. Maybe more or less, depending on the communities we put ourselves in, or hopefully we get to choose more where we place our bodies. Yeah. And yet there's something there that is still not healed, that we are in this process of healing. That's the looking, you know, that's the embracing, that's the investigating, that's the meeting that anger, that hurt, that brokenheartedness, meeting it. And what comes when you meet it? So the whole path, also some ways that bodhicitta is described is softening. Softening. And so this path of practice of transformation, it is a softening. And the softening comes when we meet the pain, when we meet the thing that is has broken our heart, that we've closed up around. And so the opening to investigate and look allows us to see, and we experience the pain, maybe not as severe as the first or the second or however many times, yeah, because it's all there bundled up, right? It hasn't been taken care of. But there's a softening that happens. There's a softening that comes from the meeting and embracing. Because when it happened, there wasn't an embrace. It was a, you know, it was like a cut, right? It's like an arrow. And it hurt, and it was painful. And then what happens whenever we meet pain is we contract and we pull away. And the only thing we want to do is get away from that assault, that violation. And if we didn't have the skills, we didn't know what to do with it. We just sort of buried it. But it didn't stop it from festering or maybe locking up to not feel it like that in that visceral or acute way. And so when we start this path and we start saying, "Hello, my anger. I see you. I care about you. You are a part of me. I have maybe ignored you because you hurt, it hurts so much, my anger." And we start opening that. And then, because now we're maybe with a little bit more skills, we know how to take care of it. We know when to stop and say, "Okay, I can't do this anymore right now. I need to go do something that nourishes me." And then when we feel a little bit stronger and the foundation is more steady, we come back and we be with it again. And then it gets softer. And that process, that going back and looking and holding and caring, something happens where the energy shifts and it gets softer. So this path of bodhicitta, this path of compassion, this path of waking up, it's a softening of those places that we have locked down and hardened around. And our activism, our external activism, is a little bit like that. When we get involved and we see something happening that just ticks us off, meaning it basically has activated our own anger. Maybe from a similar situation, maybe from something that we know so well that's not that particular set of circumstances, but there is a connection, and the connection is pain. The connection is suffering from something that was unfairly done. And so the anger that's there, it's the same anger that needs to be taken care of in the way we take care of the anger inside when we do this internal practice, this looking, this caring, the "Hello, my anger, I see you." That same internal process is one that needs to be activated and taken up and in when we face these external things that are making us angry, when we hear the words that are mean, immigrants eat animals, rodents, right? When we hear things like that, what? And we're bringing it right in here because this is our path of practice. We want to practice with these things because these things, why does it make us angry when we hear that? It makes us angry. It doesn't make some people angry. Some people don't get angry from hearing that. So how come some of us get angry? Because it's first of all, it's wrong. And so what happens when it's wrong, when we know something that's being seen as truth is trying to be promulgated or indoctrinated as truth, is it activates circumstances where something wrong happened and we know it and there was nothing we could do about it. And so it triggers us again. We're triggered again. And that external activation that's just happened where we went to anger, that mindfulness is what allows us to see, oh, wow, I just got really angry from that. So it doesn't negate that this is wrong. It doesn't say, I'm accepting that because I'm a bodhisattva and we're on this path of internal transformation. And so nothing that's happening outside matters to me anymore. wish it was so, not so. Although sometimes we think it's so, it's not like that though. It is that when our mindfulness is, when we're aware and we practice this mindfulness in everyday life, we get to see, I am getting angry because of this. Why is that? It's the same thing, right? We acknowledge, we pause, and then we look and embrace, and then we investigate. And then in that investigation, we understand why this thing is triggering us, why it's making me so angry. And so what then happens is our anger gets transformed because the energy that is looking at the anger now, it's another energy that's there that wasn't there before. Before it was just anger by itself. But now we're practicing with mindfulness, and now we have this energy of mindfulness observing the anger. So now we have a friend in the mix. Now this friend can help us. I'm not saying the friend's going to solve the problem. I'm just saying the friend can help us because now there's friend mindfulness and friend anger. It's not just friend anger by itself anymore. That's like trying to wreak havoc, right, in mind body. It's like friend anger there, yeah, friend mindfulness. Okay. Maybe that pause allowed us more spaciousness to actually bring another friend in. Maybe it's friend observer. Maybe it's friend wisdom. Maybe it's friend patience, right? And then slowly, as all our friends come together instead of just this one that wants to take over, it allows us to have a little bit more clarity in what is really there. That friend wisdom actually allows us to make a better decision to take care of that injustice, to take care of that thing that was making us angry. So the angry friend is actually, you might say, the sentinel, because it got us going. It activated us. The mindfulness is what allows us to determine what else is needed here. What else is my practice here? Can I generate compassion in this moment? What does that mean? That means someone might be acting in a way that is not kind or not nice. Can we still take care of ourselves, right? So we're taking care of ourselves. Remember, always take care of ourselves first. So we have something in our pocket to offer out. If we don't have any awareness, compassion, mindfulness in our pocket, we can't offer it out. And then that's when we act all who knows what, right? That's when we have regret. That's when we do stuff that we regret. But if we have friend mindfulness, friend patience, friend understanding, friend, especially friend wisdom, it determines how we're going to take care of that situation with wisdom, maybe with kindness even, and certainly maybe with compassion. Because irregardless of what the person is doing and for the reason that they're doing it, it's clear they don't have any kindness in them right now, in that moment. I'm not saying the person doesn't have kindness ever, but in the moment, in order for them to have done that, they're just done an unkind thing, right? What we say is, you know, children aren't bad, they have bad behaviors. And we have to always remember that. It's the same with adults. So in that moment, this person is not being nice, and the compassion allows us to make all that distinction. It all happens very quickly. And so our action then comes from a place of compassion and understanding and wisdom, instead of just from being friend anger just took over, friend anger is going to decide everything that's going to happen now. No, we want the whole community to be in on this, right? That's what we do, right? And so that same process of generating bodhicitta, it's not a individual inside only matter. As bodhisattvas, we're warriors of compassion. Yeah. And we cut through afflictions, meaning not just our own afflictions, but we have we can trust our sword to act in the right way. We're wielding the sword with compassion. We're not wielding the sword with anger, because all the friends are there. Yeah. And it's when we don't have the whole community engaged that we have regret. You know, and we'll continue to have regrets, because that's just our path. Our path of practice is to notice, oh, if I had paused and let another energy come into being with this, what was happening, maybe it would have been a different outcome. And so we take that in, and then the next time it happens, we actually remember to breathe. And then in that breath in allows something else there to happen. And as we continue to do it over and over again, what we say is that it starts to make an imprint. It's a different imprint. And now we do it all the time. And this transformation, it's not like this. You know, it's like, oh no, I listen today and tomorrow I got angry and I get angry and then I'm going to do this and it's done. It's all done. I'm done. I'm like bodhisattva extraordinaire. Because we may do it like that, but you know, if we just started doing it, how can we really, like anything else, how can we really expect that we're not? But if we keep doing it, that's when it becomes a new habitual pattern that's different from the ones that we have been having for quite a while. And so that's how we slowly create new habits. Yeah, we put down new brain circuitry. We start to activate different parts of our brain more regularly when a particular thing happens. Yeah, and this is how we practice and transform that which it is that we say we want to transform. Because it's not that I'm telling you this is what we should transform. We're on this path together, and we have acknowledged that these things, these particular types of emotions, that it leads us down a path of continuous suffering over and over again. Like, we've all agreed on that. If not, we wouldn't be here today on a beautiful day spending our time like this. We've all kind of decided that that is true. And we've also decided that we keep doing it. It's a habit. You know, it's the simplest thing as, you know, whenever I eat two bags of chips instead of one bag of chip, I feel this way. But in that moment of upset, what do? We eat the two bag of chips because it's acutely feeling really good, right? All that nice salt, whatever. And we know. So we all know that there's things that we want to transform, and then, but it takes time. So we all agree that there's these things internally that we want to transform in ourselves on this path of practice of cultivating the boundless heart, the expansiveness like nature inside, right inside of us, because we already have all the ingredients, they're all there. And the more we practice with reconnecting with the elements, the more those elements come, we bring those elements inside of us, the more they get awakened and refreshed. And the more we can practice sharing that wisdom, yeah. And then next thing you know, we can bring that out in our daily lives. It's not just when we're quietly sitting and there's not a lot going on. We can be in a very fast going, in the middle of a work scenario. Somebody says something that's totally unacceptable. What do we do? What do we do? Do we go to habitual pattern of trigger, angry, lock the heart again, feed that anger that's already there? Or do we, in that moment of mindfulness, notice, wow, I'm really angry right now. Breathe. Okay, now we have anger. Now we have anger and observation awareness, right? So we have awareness. And then as we keep breathing, we have more friends that are there. And something different will happen. It's just the nature of the fact that there's more there than what was there before. Something different will happen. It's a different constellation of energy that's there. So something different happens. And then we change this pattern. And it's the same thing as we practice, as we sit quietly. We notice what's there. We see where it is in our body, what it looks like, what shape it is. Maybe it has an odor, maybe it has a particular sensation. We get to know our body so that when we're external and we don't have the quiet conditions, we can see what's going on. Maybe the body reminds us quickly, maybe the belly tightens, maybe the heart hurts, maybe whatever it is, maybe the eyebrow jumps or something, maybe the hip gets tight. But because we've been practicing on the cushion or quietly in the chair, and we've been identifying, oh, what does anger feel like in me? Oh, what does kindness feel like in me? Oh, what does impatience feel? When it happens in that fast-paced world externally, it as we breathe, it starts to come back. So they're connected. So this path of bodhicitta, I'd like to suggest to really play with how our work in justice spaces or activism, how it's the same thing. It's a waking up. And how our waking up internally actually allows us to continue that bodhicitta path externally in a way that's beautiful. And it's a way of helping others wake up. Yeah. So I will stop there and invite a bell for us to breathe and let all that go. Thank you for listening.